Good morning again. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, wishing you a very happy day. We're just praising the Lord that he is still on his throne, and always will be, of course. And this is a great day to be with the Lord Jesus. I'd like to share with you one or two things, because we get so much mixed up. But listen to these men that are wanting to be the President of the United States, or a senator, or whatever it is that they think they're going to be good at. And you will hear two things in particular. You will hear about power and raw power. You will hear about authority and raw power. I was reading in one of the volumes written by Winston Churchill in 1931, believe it or not, he had something to say about this very subject, and I was very interested in the definition of what was said. So let me share this with you. There is a difference, says Churchill, about the authority versus authoritarianism. Now, the authoritarianism is a long word that doesn't mean very much to a lot of people. But the Nazi distortion occurred because of their ignorance or willful disregard of the differences between authority and power. They confused authoritarianism with true authority. Lucifer was the first to discover that being cut off from God means losing one's authority, and he was the first to undertake a perpetual quest for raw power in the attempt to fill the void and remain significant. Since Eden, the human race, created in the very image of God himself, was intended to use its God-granted authority to bless the entire creation. The rebellion in the garden severed humanity from its right relationship with God. Cain, exerting raw power without the sanction of authority, killed Abel and was driven into the land of Nod, where he became terrified of the power that others might use against him. Therein lies the contrast between the two kingdoms. The kingdom of God is the realm of true authority. The kingdom of Satan is seen in the tyranny of raw power. Now, Churchill and Hitler, in their time, were primary characters of this ongoing parable of authority and power. Though Hitler clearly did not understand the importance of transcendent authority, Churchill did. In 1931, as Churchill contemplated the future 50 years hence, he fretted about the dangers of power in the human hand. Without an equal growth of mercy, pity, peace, love, and science herself may destroy all that makes human life majestic and tolerable. There never was a time when the inherent virtue of human beings required more strong and confident expression in daily life. There never was a time when the hope of immortality and the disdain of the earthly power and achievement were more necessary for the safety of the children of men. Authority shows itself in constructive power, whereas raw power is inevitably destructive, as Hitler and the Nazis amply demonstrated. Authority is granted from the higher to the lower, but power is seized. Authority is given to the humble. Those under authority find that power is sometimes snatched by the proud, who acknowledge no authority over themselves. Authority is sustained through relationship, which is why Churchill devoted so much time to communicating and to being among the people. Raw power, on the other hand, is sustained through four control mechanisms: manipulation, condemnation, intimidation, and domination. Skills that Hitler and the Nazis honed to a sharp point. As we have seen, Nazism crushed the German soul that had once given the world spiritual treasures. And Churchill knew that heartless humanity was its own greatest threat. A nation without a conscience is a nation without a soul, he said. A nation without a soul is a nation that cannot live. And then he sums up the difference between the authority and true leadership and the coercive nature of raw power. If I put a loaded gun to your head, said Churchill, I can get you to do things you might not otherwise do. But I've not practiced leadership. I've exercised power. True leadership only exists if people follow when they have the freedom not to. Governments are given authority to establish order. Without authority, nations fall into chaos. The church, in God's plan, is a conduit of grace. When the church tries to become the enforcer of law, it moves away from this high calling. God grants authority to governments to exact and to enforce justice and extend mercy by protecting the innocent. Only then is civil government truly authoritative and not merely authoritarian. We see this in the Old Testament with Israel and its first king Saul. God gave Saul the same mandate that every leader has: the right to govern within the confines of God's Ten Commandments. And let me remind you of them. I am the Lord your God. Do not worship any other God but me. Do not make idols of any kind. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not testify falsely against your neighbor. Do not covet your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now, the Ten Commandments are foundational for civilized nations. Hitler's regime brazenly broke every one of them. Once the Nazis severed themselves from God's universal laws, all they had left was the naked abuse of power. And we talk about this power. Jesus came down from the mountain and he said to his disciples after resurrection, he said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. All power, everything that is powerful. In other words, the authority that I give to you is the power of God, and it is a friendly power, if you like to use that word. How do I understand this? Well, we understand it simply by the authority of God is revealed so many times in the Bible. It was the authority of God that went with Elijah and Elisha, and those two men alone could shape a whole nation just by going to the king and talking to him, because they had authority. Those of us that are pastors, we have been given authority, and people that buck us and make us feel as if we're nothing, and they try to rearrange our lives and demand certain things from us that are not righteous. Why, the people that do that are wrong, and the pastor that gives in is wrong too. For we must stand aloof from the ideas of man and stand aloof from the things that are not of God. Now, I believe that God has a plan for the world. I believe it's all there and it's written down and it's laying in front of us. We just can't understand it at this point. But we do know that all authority, all the authority and power that God wants for man to have so that he can live a peaceable and beautiful life full of the Holy Spirit and full of the love of God, God has given us that, and we can follow it so easily if we will simply obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Follow his guidelines. And the guidelines are simple. The young man that came to Jesus and he said, you know, I've always lived a clean life, a righteous life, and I've lived a quiet, decent life, and I'm a very decent person. I give generously to the temple and so on. What more do I need to make sure that I get eternal life? And Jesus said, you're just about there. But one thing thou lackest, sell everything you've got and come and follow me. And the man went away because he was very rich. Jesus looked at him as he went off into the distance and said to his disciples, what a shame. He's almost there. Are you prepared to give your life in open dedication to the Lord Jesus? Are you prepared to live for him for the rest of your life? And are you prepared to make that decision? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days and let them be filled with ceaseless praise. Are you prepared to do that? Are you prepared to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him, receive my repentance for sin? Lord Jesus, fill me with the love of God. And the answer is, of course he will. But sometimes nothing happens, and it's a great shame. And James says, we have not because we ask not. And even when we ask amiss. So we can't ask so much for ourselves. One man stood up and he said, Lord, I'm ever so grateful that I'm not as this man over here is. He's a publican. He's a sinner. I tithe twice a month or whatever it was, and I give to the poor. But the sinner came to Jesus and wouldn't even so much as look up into heaven. And he said, oh God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Jesus said, which one went away justified without a burden? And they said, well, the man that said he was a sinner. And he said, you're right. That's exactly correct. When you come to God and you want to be praying and you want to be emptying your soul in prayer to the Lord Jesus, make sure that you are carefully putting yourself in the place where God can listen. Now, there's some important things that we need to understand. We need to get into the scriptures a little bit and understand that Romans 10 and verses 13 through 17 tell us that we need to be a people who are witnessing for Christ. Witnessing, that is, telling others about the Lord Jesus. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it where nobody's listening, apparently. You tell it. You tell the people where you are. We so grew our children and taught them so much of the scripture that they were like evangelists when they went to school. Our youngest daughter was quick to show people the way of salvation. Our eldest daughter was a little bit withdrawn, but she also shared the power of God and the presence of the Lord Jesus. Our son, he was a bit bashful, but he would own up to the fact that Jesus is the Christ. He was the Son of the living God, and without him there was no God and no salvation. So we had three evangelists living at home, and it was quite interesting to listen to their stories. And eventually, now we're all of us older, we found people who were converted because of their testimony and trusted in the Lord Jesus, no matter what was going on in their world. It's a beautiful testimony to hear a child repeat what the parent says, and it's a glory to God. Just a glory to God. I remember reading the story of Elisha when Elijah had gone up into heaven. As Elisha came back down and was walking to Jordan, there were a load of teenagers, and they were all together, and they said, "Oh, here comes the bald one." They mocked him. He threw the mantle or the coat of Elijah on the waters, and the waters parted, and he walked over on dry land. And the teenagers said, "Look at that, wow." But they couldn't stop jeering and making fun of the man. Why? Because the parents made fun of the man. Be careful. God's chosen men are among us. Be careful. Your pastor was called of God. And if he wasn't, he shouldn't be in the pastorate. It's that simple, really. And we all know that the word of God is powerful. Powerful, same word. All authority, all power is given unto me. All authority is mine. And the word of God is powerful. Do you use it day by day? And do you use it in times of difficulty? Do you use the word of God in repeating it back to God? Well, here's something for us to think about. There is a difference between authority and the power that people seek. Now, we've already, in these elections, have heard someone put a rumor out that one of the delegates was going to quit. And so they rushed over and they got the signatures of the people in his group. And so that exploded somebody else's group with numbers, and so ensured their election. Now, that's not right. And it doesn't matter how you slice that story. If there's any modicum of truth, it's wrong. And that's all there is to it. But we live in a world of wrong. And we've got so used to the wrong. We say, "Oh, here's a man that wants to steal power. We better give it to him." We argue, "What can I do? What can we do?" And we come back with the famous statement, "Well, you can vote, but that doesn't eject a man from authoritarianism." And so he sits with power on a throne of some sort, and he exerts that power and dictates which angle that the country is going to take. Be careful of such a man. Don't elect him. Take the man who humbly receives the authority of God, leads people because of the authority that's been given to him. Talk about that man and see what wisdom he has, what abilities God's given him, what graciousness has filled his soul and his heart. And I am moved to say that there are people like that. Maybe they're sitting in the wings and won't be elected this time. But we need to look at men and look at what they've got and what they are offering. We need to understand that raw power is satanic, always. It makes demands upon people, taxes people. You can go back in the history of the Israelites, and every time they got themselves into trouble, they were highly taxed when God released them from their slavery, they weren't taxed at all. God was quite satisfied with 10% thrown in their coffers. God was quite satisfied that they had a heart to say thank you for my freedom and toss the money willy-nilly into the offering. Whereas the priests were walking around saying, hey, you earned $10 last year and you didn't give us more than 50 cents. We need a dollar from you. And so they wanted their tenth. It's necessary to give and be generous, but be careful. Our tithes and offerings. What is your offering to God? Or take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee, is the beginning of generosity. Give the life, and then all the money that comes into your experience and for your use isn't for you at all. It's for you to rearrange and send out to missionaries and pastors and people who are in need. We need to give. We need to be generous. We need to be filled with a spirit of generosity that causes others to praise God. Your gifts, says the Apostle Paul in Corinthians, your gifts administrated by us causes others to thank God. What a wonderful privilege to find that you are a conduit of giving, so you can give plenty. You don't stick to tenth. A tenth is nothing. Stick to need. Is there a brother here, there, or anywhere? Is there a family in desperate need? Is there something that I can do that will make a difference in their lives? Go and make the difference. The Bible says, don't pat the person on the head and say, oh, well, I'll be praying for you. Give them the money so that they can pay their debt. Do it. You'll find that God will bless you. You'll never have a lot of money in your pocket. You may not have much in your bank, but who cares? In the bank that God runs in heaven, you're giving to an eternal business, if I dare use that word, and you're giving because you love the Lord Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him should never perish. What generosity! But have everlasting life. Give. So there are three things we've discovered. One is that authority is given by God. Second one is authoritarianism is not given by God. It is given by Satan, and Satan throws it at us and we claw it away and we get the honor and the glory and all that sort of thing. You can listen to these politicians yakking away, and you can tell which ones are honest and those that are thoroughly dishonest. Have nothing to do with the dishonest. You elect a dishonest person, you expect dishonest deeds. If you're not aware of the present dishonest deeds, you soon will be. And then the third thing here is that we have this wonderful ability to discover authority. Do you know how to discover it best? Stand still, be quiet, and know that God is on his throne. Elijah stood in the cave mouth. Boy, the earthquake came. The great wind came. The colossal rains came. God wasn't in any of this vast display of power. God was in a still, small voice. And when Elijah stood there long enough, he heard the voice of God speaking and telling him what to do next. Be still. Know I am God, for God is good, and God loves you more than you can imagine. Well, it's time for me to stop. but I just wanted to tell you these lovely things and grasp them, get them in your heart, tuck them in your soul, and make sure you believe on this Lord Jesus. Trust him with your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask that today you will take away that unit within us that wants to be powerful, and give us the authority that is gentle and kind, full of mercy, pity, and peace, and sweetness, and kindness. Oh Lord, please work in our hearts that we may seek the things of God and not the things of this world. If any of us are acting like authoritarians, we ask that you will stop us, that we may show the love of Jesus and the gentleness of the shepherd with his sheep. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Hey, thank you for listening. I'm glad you did. The Lord be with you. Bye-bye.